Ready? So just put it on. Yeah, yeah. Should I put it there?
Yeah.
Is that all right? Hear me. Well, thank you for letting me come and have a little talk with you tonight. You too, sugars.
Well, good job to you, Stephen.
Thank you for letting me come tonight. I'm going to give you, I'm going to talk a little bit about me, because I don't know if you know how I ended up in Dunsport, but God had a plan 22 years ago. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the food bank, and how your kindness keeps it going. And then we're going to look at some different stories in the Bible about people being generous. So, 22 years ago, I got married to Glenn, and we bought a little house on Queen Street near the library. I didn't know the Salvation Army then, but I knew God. I'd been brought up at Darfield Church, but we came and we settled in Goldthorpe. And when my children were little, we drove past the toddler group that was happening at the Salvation Army. I thought, oh, I'll take mine there. And that was my journey with the Salvation Army. Jesus gently encouraged me to come to the Salvation Army to start leading the toddler group. Then Chris and Adrian came, and bit by bit, I'm not used to all this, and bit by bit, he gave me that confidence, that gentle, come on, Alison, have a go. So I stayed, I became an adherent, and then I became a soldier, but he called me into full-time ministry. And what is wonderful about the Salvation Army is that for some people, going to college is not right. And for me, it wasn't right. My husband has a full-time job. My children are at school. So in the army, I'm called a territorial envoy. Trying to explain that to people is just really hard. And when I say I've been called by God, they look at me even stranger. But I believe I've been called by God to love this community. And it's, you know, because about 10 years ago, the envoys weren't in the Salvation Army, and you had to be a married couple, but now the army's changed, and I'm really glad that we've changed so I can do what I believe God is telling me to do. And what is a miracle that is happening at Goldthorpe is that we never ever run out of food. I've just had a call this week from Tesco Extra at Bolton. We can pick up twice a week now from there, starting on the 8th of May. Morrison's phoned me 2 weeks ago. We go twice a week to pick up the food from Morrison's. We go three times a week to Tesco's. We have got so much food you would not believe. And the food that you bring is just amazing. So now people can have fresh fruit and veg as well as tins. But all the food that we collect from supermarkets would have been thrown away. And literally on a Monday, if you ever see me, my car is full, my little car. And the guy comes out with a trolley, and there is so much stuff. And they tell me each time, if you don't take this, Alison, it will be thrown. So potatoes, strawberries, oranges, pineapples, everything you name it. And some of these fruits and vegetables, my people have never tried. So what we do now is we do a little cooking session. We're doing a bit of one-to-one work. So they're trying to learn to cook, so that at least when they take the food parcel home, they can cook. But it's just by the kindness of people that we can continue to doing what we do. Because I tried to work out how many years it is since I've started the food bank. I've been a leader at Goldthorpe now 3 years, which I can't believe. So it's got to be nearly 5 years since we've started the food bank. And it has changed. It has changed. We do a working food bank now on the third Saturday of every month for families who are in work. And often we're having a lot of dads who are coming to that, not just the wives, the dads are coming. And that's quite successful. So we are going to continue that throughout the year. But we just never, ever run out of food. And what God is amazing that he's sending me people, sending me volunteers. He knows I hate being in the kitchen, so he sends me people to cook. He knows I can't really bake a cake. So he sends somebody who can bake, and he sends me these amazing people. And on their journey to Jesus. And some of my volunteers have journeyed to Jesus. And that's what we want. By the initial them coming in for a food parcel, and finding Jesus. I can, you know, if Johnny was here tonight, I was hoping he would be here, because he's got an amazing story. He came about 14 months ago for a food parcel, and I said to him, I expect to see you back. I often use those words, I expect. Because if I just say, I'll see you Friday, they often don't listen to me. I say, I expect to see you back on Friday, Tony. And he came, and he's never left since. He's now a key holder, which is a major thing for Goldthorpe, to actually have somebody else with who can have a set of keys. And he does some amazing work behind the scenes in his journey to Jesus. Just by that initial coming in and saying, can I have some? Can I have some help? So Mondays and Fridays are quite busy, quite a lot of madness. But we go with it. We're very lucky. We've just had 6 brand new computers given by the council, so we can continue our job club. And then we had a meeting on Friday, because last year I did this bike programme with my young people, where I just literally advertised for bikes on Facebook. I got these 3 bikes, and my lads did them up. It gave them the confidence. And one of the young lads actually used to come to your youth club, John Ellis. He's now nearly completed the Prince's Trust. He's on his 10th week of that. Came to church last week to tell me all about what he'd been doing. And, you know, how you've played a part in his journey. And I'm just so proud of John that he can now, you know, one bit, if he was to do it, he'd say, one bit, he wouldn't have been able to stick out 12 weeks. Because it's quite a strict programme. You have to do what you're told. But John's done it. And that's by the love of this church and our church. And it's just wonderful to see. But I don't thank you that you are so generous and that you keep being generous. Because it is hard when you probably read on the news and you see people might be not telling the truth. But what is lovely now is people don't always come to the army just for food. They come for friendship. They come to see one another. It's a safe place. And they can love, you know, I've got another lady who started coming and she's learning to do crochery. So, it's learning new skills. But I do thank each and every one of you. Give faithfully and you can continue feeding the people of the day. You know, because when people say to me, are there really people that haven't got food? And I say, yes, there is. There is really children who don't have clothes. So we're trying to work with the parents to teach them how to cook. So again, God sent me this amazing woman called Jackie, literally out of the blue, and she is brilliant with cooking, doing one-to-one work with them, and it's just marvellous. He just knows, doesn't he, what we need at the right time, and he sends somebody to me. But that's me, and that's the army at the minute. But we're just going to look at some pieces of scripture. And some of these I know will know so well. But I'm going to read John chapter 6, 1 to 14. Feeding of the 5,000. One that we know so well, but it includes a little boy being so kind. And you can imagine his mum that day, can't you? Right, I'm going to give you a bit of pack up. But I bet he didn't imagine what would happen. So I'm just going to read this piece of scripture. Jesus crossed Lake Galilee. A large crowd had seen him perform miracles to heal the sick, and those people went with him. It was almost time for the Jewish festival of Passover, and Jesus went up on a mountain with his disciples and sat down. When Jesus saw the large crowd coming towards him, he asked Philip, "Where will we get enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip, since he already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, "Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages just to buy only a little bread for each of these people?" Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the disciples, and he spoke up and said, "There is a boy here who has 5 small loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But what good is that with all these people?" The ground was covered with grass. And Jesus told his disciples to make everyone sit down. About 5,000 men were in the crowd. Jesus took the bread in his hands and gave thanks to God. Then he passed the bread to the people, and he did the same with the fish. until everyone had plenty to eat. The people ate all they wanted, and Jesus told his disciples to gather up the leftovers so that nothing would be wasted. The disciples gathered them up and filled 12 large baskets with what was left over from the 5 barley loaves. After the people had seen Jesus perform this miracle, they began saying, "This must be the prophet who has come into the world." So Jesus went back up into the mountain where he could be alone. It amazes me, that one. 5,000 people. I think, oh, can you imagine? I would have controlled 5,000 coming to the army. They'd all be having a right racket. But they listened. That's what always amazes me. You know, about people were discussing this a couple of weeks ago. Do you think somebody passed it on, but you need to sit down? How do you think they just sat down together and they ate together? It was because there was a little boy who was generous. And I think what also jumps out at this passage is there was no food wastage. That's what Tesco's need to see, don't they? There was no food wastage. Nothing got wasted. And the crowd sat and they ate together. And this little boy was so generous with what he did that Jesus performed the miracle. Generosity from a little boy. And that's what I always say, it doesn't matter what age you are, you can be generous. And fish and bread doesn't seem a lot, but here it said it was so expensive. So you might think, oh, money buying a tin of beans, but it's so worthwhile to that family. So we've got a little boy, and we've got Jesus who performed that miracle. And then Jesus went up into the mountain where he could be alone. And I think we need to take that from that passage, don't we, that Jesus went and rested. And in our busy lives, we always feel guilty, don't we, if we rest. But how many times in the Bible does Jesus go and rest? He don't, you know, goes up to the mountain where he could be alone. He's not always busy. He's spending that time. So the next one. This is Luke 21. Just a very tiny little chapter. Jesus looked up and saw some rich people tossing their gifts into the offering box. He also saw a poor widow putting in 2 pennies. And he said, "I tell you this, poor woman has put in more than all the others. Everyone else has given what they didn't need, but she's very poor and has given everything she had." Everyone else gave what they didn't need, but she was very poor and gave everything she had. I wonder, have we ever given something which cost us a lot? It might not be money. Your time. Your kindness. Your things. What we've made at the Salvation Army is a penny jar. I read this passage again a couple of weeks ago. Tony said, "Look, I've made, Alison, I made a penny jar." And it's just on the counter. So when people come in, they say, "Ooh, what's that?" So it gives us a chance just to tell this little piece of scripture. We are getting some pennies in, so that's good. It's not full. We're nearly there, but you know. But again, it's a visual image, and they took that away from this. But this lady gave all she had. My young people tell me that pennies are not cool. You know, how many times do you walk up the street and they're throwing them on the floor? They don't like 5 pences now, do they? Because they're not cool either. So they're throwing them about. Yeah. But pennies make pounds, you know, they used to say. Here we are, we've got a young boy, we've got an older lady, giving all that she's got. And I often say to my people, you don't have to give money. It's your time. You know, time could be of a value. You know, my people give hours and hours, like your people give hours and hours of their time. And some people say, well, why do you want to volunteer? But they say, because they love what they do. And it does do them a world of good. Absolutely a world of good. So, let's have a look. Well, here we are. Where are we now? There's another little person. Well, he's a man, but he's little. Zacchaeus. When I went on some training in January, we had to sing this song. You know the song that we sang? It's on Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a very little man. Yeah. So Jesus was going through Jericho, where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was in charge of collecting taxes and was very rich. Jesus was heading his way, and Zacchaeus wanted to see what he was like. But Zacchaeus was a short man and could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. When Jesus got there, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay with you today. Zacchaeus hurried down and gladly welcomed Jesus. Everyone who saw this started grumbling. This man, Zacchaeus, is a sinner, and Jesus is going home to eat with him. Later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, I will give half of my property to the poor, and I will now pay back four times as much to everyone I have ever cheated. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, today you and your family have been saved. Because you are a true son of Abraham. Zacchaeus needed to see Jesus. So he did. He was small, so he climbed up into the tree so he could see him. He was so desperate to see him. I wonder what the crowd thought when he was going to go home and eat with Jesus. Often, you know, in our communities we've got Zacchaeus, haven't we? It could be the drug dealer, the alcoholic. Sometimes the people might come to me. What are you doing? Helping them, people do say to me. Why are you spending time helping them? Because Jesus has sent me to do that, that's why. I wonder what they talked about, Zacchaeus and Jesus. I wonder if Jesus did, come on. You need to sort yourself out. I think he would have been quite frank with him and not beat about the bush. But he listened. And he responded. And he did as he was told. Or as I would say, he did as he was expected to do. I wonder if Jesus used them words, I expect you to do that. Because he was being a bit greedy and not being nice, Zacchaeus. But he knew he had to change his ways. So we've got three people, all generous in different ways. With giving food, giving pennies, giving away his property. But one thing is, they all met Jesus. As we look this week at the start of the journey this Easter, there's all a little card. Do we have any? Are we going to actually come out, Stephen? Everybody can have one. Yeah, yeah. If we have a little look at the picture on the front. Can you find Jesus on there? Have we found him?
Yep.
We found him. Thank you. on this picture Jesus on a donkey. That was generously lent to Jesus to ride on. It was a carnival atmosphere that day on Palm Sunday. Everyone was happy. Palms were waved and people were shouting. Everyone was happy and everyone wanted to get close to Jesus. I wonder, where are we in the crowd? Are we desperate to be kneeling? Are we desperate to be at his feet? Are we desperate to be in his presence? God was so generous with what he gave. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his son into the world to condemn his people. He sent him to save them. God is so generous. And I thank you for being generous too.